Okay, great to be with all of us here back again. Okay, are you all able to hear me at the back? Okay, great. So, before we just begin, I just felt a couple of words for some people, a couple of people. Yeah, I just felt, is it Arnold or Anand? Or Arnold? Anand. Okay. Arnold. I remember Arnold because you're still working with Godrich, correct? Yeah. So I'll not forget Godrich. It was my last company that I worked for. Okay. Arnold, I just felt this picture of, when you are there in a 20-20 match, like, you know, and then when there is a huge total to be pursued, and then, like, you're doing your best kind of like to somewhere come close to it, but you still feel kind of like it's quite far away. And then finally, like, you come to the kind of, you know, final overs, like, you know. And but when you come to the final overs, like, you know, it so happens that you are able to score and you are able to win, like, you know. So I just felt that many times you may be feeling that I'm giving my best, but I don't think I'm reaching anywhere close to my goal. And I just felt God saying, the match is not over. It's not over. God will give you grace to finish well. So, you know, and His grace will come. He will equip you. He will strengthen you to finish well. So don't be afraid that you're giving your best, but you're not seeing, you know, good results. God is with you, and God will enable you to finish well. Okay? I just felt for, is it Ria's friend? Yeah, okay. So I just, you can just sit down. Yeah. I just felt while worshipping, I just felt this picture of, you know, a leaf, like, that was being drenched in the water. Okay? And generally, like when you see the leaf, then the top part of the leaf looks very nice, like, because, like, that's got the real shades and everything, and it looks fresh and all that. And then the bottom part, it looks a little bit dull, like, you know. But what I felt about this leaf was that, like, not only, like, the best part was looking good, but the back side also, you know, was looking good. And so I just felt God saying that there are many good things in you which you feel good about, and there may be some not so good things, and God is saying, I will make that also good. Many times, like, when we look at some of our weaknesses or some of our challenges and all that, then we feel discouraged that I wish I was not like this. I wish this was okay with me. But I just felt God saying that even those things which you feel are not so good, I feel God saying, God will make it good, you know, for His purpose, for His name, for His glory in your life. So that's what I don't know whether this makes sense for you and for Anil also, but I just felt these two pictures. Okay, we'll just pray and we'll look at God's word. Father, we bless you. Lord, thank you that, Lord, in you there is life, even as we read those verses, Lord. And Lord, these are not just emotional songs and emotional words, Lord, but this is a fact in our life, Lord, that you've touched us and you've changed our lives, Lord. And as we gather here as your people, we experience your presence, Lord. And there is life in your presence, Lord. There is light in your presence, Lord. There is hope in your presence, Lord. We want to thank you this morning for your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, your word, Lord, changes us, Lord. It has the power to transform our lives, Lord. And so we pray, would you nourish us, would you change us, Lord, through your word, Lord. And so we commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Okay. So today, this morning, we want to just look at this aspect of the sovereignty of God. Now, any idea what does it mean you know, the word sovereignty, sovereign. What does that mean? Any thoughts? So we'll try and have a little bit of a dialogue rather than one-way communication. Okay. Sovereignty of God. Okay, supreme, he is above all. Okay. Anything else? He loves everyone. I feel like, you know, you're in that examination hall, like, you know, everybody's so silent and so nervous, like, you know, one question has been put, like, no, and so whether we'll pass or fail. So feel free, yeah. So God's love is for everyone, so he's sovereign, okay? Anything else? Ultimate authority is above all. He is the ultimate. Anything else? Not influenced. Correct. That's amazing. Like, you know, even when things go wrong or things don't go the way we expect, still God is above all that. So he's not affected by that. So we just want to understand the sovereignty of God. You know? How does the sovereignty of God work in our lives? Now, yes, in a sense, like, we worship God as, you know, God who, you know, brings deliverance, brings healing, brings miracles in our lives. Right? It's all true, but there are some aspects that we need to understand, and that is about one of those things, would be the sovereignty of God. Because many times, things may not go as we expect or as what we want. I read this story, a real story about an American flight. Okay, it was some, I think it was Delta Airlines or something like that, 911. It was some years back, and there was one Christian person, and he was brought by his friend, and they were getting into the airport to catch this flight, and but he was getting delayed, and as he reached the airport, He missed the flight. In the same airport, there was another pastor, okay, very well-known pastor, reverend, you know, and he was also being brought by his friend, and you know, they were also getting late. But at the nick of time, like, you know, he managed to get the flight, okay, and got into that flight. But the problem was that, like, this flight or this aeroplane crashed, and all the 254 passengers died in that air crash. So sometimes you kind of like question, you know, was God's protection only there for the believer or that Christian person, and God's protection not there for the senior pastor, reverend? Why did it happen that way? Like, no? And, you know, this friend who was bringing this pastor to the airport, he says, you know, at that time, Reverend Elliot, his name was Reverend Elliot, didn't know he was indeed running to his appointed time in heaven. So what we see here is that, like, one ran and was saved by the Lord because he missed the flight. But one ran and he was joined to the Lord in God's purpose. I think everybody's become very silent. So I just want to say that many times we don't understand the sovereignty of God. And as Sam was saying, In our understanding, in our comprehension, you know, why did this happen? But it is God's purpose. Even in that, we see God's hand. We can't say God was cruel and wicked to his servant, that he saves some and he does not save one. So that's the whole aspect of sovereignty. That we sang about this song, the songs of God's compassion, you know, God's kindness and God's love. He is true. He's true in all of that, even when things don't go well. Amen? It's a little bit difficult to say amen for that. Like, no? So that's the sovereignty of God. So that's the grace that God gives to us. And in life, you know, we will face all these things. I was just sharing a few weeks back that, you know, life is not a party. In a sense, for us, we wish it was a party, like, and we enjoy and it's like fun moments all the time. No, for us who believe in God and who are touched by His compassion and His righteousness and want to live by truth, life is a battle. Do we agree? Right? Life is a battle. But life is also a celebration of who He is. You know? Not a celebration for us. I mean, He does allow us to enjoy, have fun and all that. But more than anything, above everything, life is a celebration of who He is, because He is sovereign in all situations. We may not understand that. He's sovereign. He redeems all things. Even when things go bad, He's able to turn it around for the good. Hallelujah. So just turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, our God is a sovereign God. So even now, when we feel that things are not, you know, so right, He's in control. He's above. He's supreme. He's ultimate. We are safe in His hands, even when we know that things are not going so well. So today we want to just look at a few aspects from the book of Jeremiah. Okay? A few aspects of how God is sovereign. How God is sovereign. How do we understand the sovereignty of God? No, we will never understand the sovereignty of God. We are human beings, finite beings. We'll only understand a fraction of who God is. But at least through His word, we will be able to have a glimpse of this aspect of the sovereignty of God. Okay, so the first thing that we want to, so what we see here, okay, can we just look over? I have. Okay, so I've just put down this verse about Paul when he said, he's saying, one of the greatest apostles, you know, a man who wrote most of the New Testament, and still he's saying, Lord, you know, this thorn in my flesh, I wish it was not there. And so what he's saying is here is, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Oh, it's so sad. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. It's not so pleasant, but the Lord is saying, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. So that is true. That's the sovereignty of God. In our weakness, He makes us strong in Him for His glory. For His glory. Even in our absolute weak moments, like, He makes us strong. So that's about the sovereignty of God. So I want to say that, like, so many times, like, we may feel, oh, you know, only good things need to happen to me because I worship the living God, the God of life. That's true. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. We live with sinful people. Are there sinful people in our families? No. We are. You know, I am sinful. And my wife is sinful. Okay. We are not perfect beings. But even through all of that, like, God works His goodness in our lives. Now, I'm not preaching all, like, you know, sorrow and pain and all that. But I'm just saying that we need to just understand the big picture of things for us to face life and to understand how God works in our lives. God's sovereignty in the midst of pain. So what we see in the book of Jeremiah is that we'll look at a few things from the book of Jeremiah. God chooses Jeremiah to bring God's word to his people. And his people would not listen. And so in Jeremiah's book itself, we see the people of God going into captivity, into exile. They are, you know, taken into bondage and they're taken into Babylon. So that's what we see, because people were disobedient. And the tough job of connecting and bringing God's word, prophetic word, to people was given to Jeremiah. He was chosen at the age of 20. Okay, and he prophesied for about 40 years, they say. 40 years. And people would not listen. He had a tough job. But even in all of that, we see the sovereignty of God. So, the first aspect that I want to say is, even through the prophets, through the prophets' shame. So now what Jeremiah is saying is that, Lord, I am bringing your word to your people, but the people are persecuting me. Actually, people should, when preachers like speak to people at the end of the service, then what do they tell their preacher? Any idea what do they tell the preacher? Nice message. Ah, we like to hear that. Pastor, what a nice message. Today morning also when we came here, so friends said like, Pastor, we're looking forward for the word. You know? That's what like Jeremiah should have felt. Chosen, anointed by God to bring God's word, which he thought like people will respond. No. They bound him. They threw him into a cistern. Okay? They mistreated him. That's what he's saying. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. It's such a sad thing, like, no? But what we are trying to learn is that even through his own prophets' shame and ridicule and embarrassment, God works his purposes. Hallelujah. A little bit difficult to say hallelujah. Because when you see the servant of God going through that, and so we'll come to that, how do we apply that into our lives, you know? And then like Jeremiah confronts the priest over there. He confronts the false prophets over there. He does bring in God's word, because they are persecuting him for no reason, for bringing God's truth and asking them to turn back to God, repent and turn back to God. And so Jeremiah then speaks the next day when Pashur, who was a priest, released him from the stocks, that is like they had him bound. Jeremiah said to him, the Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says, I'll make you a terror to yourself and to all your servants. With your own eyes you will see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of the city into the hands of their enemies, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. So, in a sense, like he brings God's word, God's judgment to these people who are persecuting him. But he himself has to go through ridicule and shame and embarrassment. You know, so that's what like we see, in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, what I want to say is that like, even in our lives, we may be doing the right thing. Okay, we may be doing, you know, what is just, but even for that, we may go through ridicule, embarrassment, and shame. And in those situations also, God will work his purposes in our lives. Hallelujah. So that's the same thing applies to us. Does not mean, you know, because I'm doing the right things, everything good only will happen to me. No. We will have to face ridicule and shame, you know, and embarrassment. But even through all that, God will work in our lives. So, I'm just saying, we may have these questions. Okay. Why am I going through this? Lord, you know, I'm walking with you. Why am I going through this? Why am I not seeing an answer to this? It's been such a long time. I've not seen an answer to this. How, you know, how is this lifting your name, Lord? You know, I'm going through ridicule and shame. I'm supposed to be your ambassador of hope to people. You know, looking at what I'm going through, how is this lifting the name of God? Lifting your name? I don't know. I don't know. There are people, there are worse people than me. Why me? Huh? So we will be, but even through all those situations, God is working His purpose through us. Hallelujah. So just turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God is working. Is it making a little bit sense? God is working. So, so even when, in a sense, we don't understand why we're going through this, we don't see any apparent, you know, sinfulness in that sense. But still, there is a difficulty. But even in that, God is working. Friends, I just want to say that when we look at the life of Jesus, He went through the same thing. If Jesus went through it, how can we not walk through it? Luke 23, 35 to 39, the people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at Him. They said, He saved others, let Him save Himself if He is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked Him. They offered Him wine vinegar and said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice about Him which read, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. If the Messiah went through ridicule and shame and embarrassment from the king to the criminal who was hanging with Him, no? Then how much more we are also called to go through that journey and those phases many times in our lives. But even through that, God works His purposes. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus went through that. He died and He rose again to bring salvation to mankind. Hallelujah. So that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing. And God works through all of that. He's supreme, ultimate. No one can change His purposes. And His desires for His people. He will do that. So just tell your neighbor once again, God is working in your life. Okay. Okay. So let's not give up hope. He's sovereign. It may not look so joyful and glorious and all that, you know, but God is working in our lives. Okay. That's the first thing. Then, secondly, even through the people's punishment. First is like prophets, shame. Even when people are punished, actually His people are supposed to be people who will become the light to the nations. Correct, no? Examples to the nations. But He's punishing them, and even through that punishment, like God is saying, I will work my purposes. What He's saying, He's telling His people. Jeremiah 21, 13, 14. I'm against you, Jerusalem. You who live above this valley on the rocky plateau, declares the Lord. You who say, who can come against us? No? Who can enter our refuge? I will punish you as your deeds deserve, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in your forest that will consume everything around you. You know, we need to just understand that these were the people of God. You know, in the New Testament, they say, we are the children of Abraham, called out into the promised land by Moses. You know, we're children of Abraham. And so God is saying, you know, no matter who you are, if you don't walk in my ways, then my punishment will be upon you. And even when I punish you, I will bring my purposes, you know, for the people of the world. Even through His people's punishment. That's what, like, we see Jeremiah 22 say, you know, saying, people from many nations will pass by the city and will ask one another, why has the Lord done such a thing to this great city? And the answer will be, because
they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and have worshipped and served other gods. So his punishment is just because they have disobeyed and gone away. And so God is bringing punishment. But even through all of that, God will bring his purposes in our lives. So I just want to say that we need to look at our lives also. You know? Sometimes we can say, Lord, you know, I am serving you, I am walking with you, I am in the worship team. Once a month I lead worship. I am in the serving. Lord, I am doing this wholeheartedly for you. But many times, if we are not aware and sensitive to what's happening in our hearts, then slowly our hearts also can become hard. Like these people, they thought, who will enter into our refuge? That's what they felt. They felt they are God's people. But their hearts had become hardened. They could not receive the message of the prophet. They couldn't even receive the Messiah. In the New Testament, they couldn't even receive, they couldn't see the truth. That's how their hearts had become hardened. So I want to say that we need to look at our hearts. That's what John the Baptist also is saying to the people, the people who are there in the crowd. Produce fruit then in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe lies ready at the root of the trees. And every tree that God does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So we need to be careful about this. We need to keep asking. We need to constantly have that posture of repentance. Constantly have that posture of surrender. Constantly have that posture of submission. When we become older, does it become easier to change or does it become difficult to change? What do you think? Difficult. All the older people are saying yes. So as we are also growing older, it becomes very difficult for me to change. Many times, when I'm sitting on the dining table, so my wife says, where are you? Means am I present there or am I still working in my mind? Connect to who is there next to you. Connect to the family. So sometimes she's very fond of gardening, and so many times she'll bring a flower and put it on the table. So then she'll ask me, did you see something? I said, I can only see food over here. No. Open your eyes and just look around the flower, admire. So I'm just learning. So sometimes because of what we are doing, because we are serving the Lord and all that, our hearts become hard. There is pride in our hearts. There is hardness. And so when people speak to us, when people bring the truth to us, we can just reject it. We can just reject it. But we need to know that, we need God. It's not that God needs us. The people of Israel, they thought God, we are your chosen people. You cannot do anything without us. No. God does not need us. God will bring salvation in his way, even without us. But it's our privilege and our joy and a choice that we make to understand who this God is, and that's what we worship God for. And so we receive his rebuke. We receive his word and ask for God's grace to change us so that we will walk. We need God every day. So just tell your neighbor, we need God. Just tell your neighbor, you need God. Okay? We need God. Yeah, the other thing also is there. We always say that promise which you say, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
So that is not a promise, that is a threat. He will not leave you.
He will not leave us. He will not leave us. He will pursue us.
That's what like he was doing.
Pursues. Because he knows we need him. We cannot do anything without him. We need him. So that's the second aspect. Okay. So first is like the song. God works his purposes. Even his when his own servant is being ridiculed, his purposes are above that. Even when his own people reject him, his purposes are above that.
Okay.
Even through his people's exile.
Can someone just read this for me? Or maybe wherever you are, you can just read from the screen.
Yes.
Die by the sword, famine or plague. But whoever goes out and surrenders to the Babylonians who are besieging you will live. They will escape with their lives. I have determined to do this city harm and no good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will destroy it with fire.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, just for us to understand, God is saying, you are being taken into captivity. Go there. Go there. I will prosper you there. Okay? It's the amazing, compassionate, pursuing God. Even in our punishment. So we quote or we give promises to one another. Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to destroy you. Where is that? In exile. That's amazing. In Babylon, when the people were, punished, he's saying, go there, willingly go there. I will fulfill my promises even in that exiled land. That's the amazing sovereign God. He's saying, don't think you'll be safe here. No, I will destroy you if you are here.
Okay.
You are unsafe in your own house. But when you are taken into captivity, into a foreign land, I will give you a hope and a future. I have plans to prosper you there. That's the amazing God. So God is so sovereign. God is so sovereign. God works so wonderfully in our lives. Even when we're walking away from him and he takes us to a foreign land, he says, I will be with you. Okay? You will see my goodness upon your life. So
nowadays, like when companies and churches, like we always make 3-year plans. 5-year plans. Nowadays they say like 5 years, too many things happen. Now people make like 2-year plans, shorter, because things change very dynamically. It's 2-year plans.
Now God, he makes like 40-year plans, correct? Through the desert. His plan is like, above our imagination. He has 70-year plans. How many years they were in exile?
70.
He has 400-year plans. The time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years.
He even has 1,000-year plans.
The millennium. The millennium. Time is in his hands. So God has a plan. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. And he restores things. He is above everything. Time is in his hands. So let us not think that everything is lost. No, he has a plan, even in what we are going through. See, actually, this is the same verse that we see that Moses is saying in Deuteronomy 30. Moses is saying, walk in obedience, walk in worship, and God will bless you. Okay, that's the same thing. See, I said before you today, life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. If your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Similar verse. He's saying, walk in obedience, and I will bless you in the land of Canaan. And here in Jeremiah, he's saying, you know, it's fine. Even if you have been punished and you're going into a foreign land, I will bless you. No, I'm with you. So God has a plan, you know, even in that place also. Okay? So just turn to your neighbor. Just tell your neighbor, God has a plan. So we looked at those questions. Lord, why am I going through all this? Why is it taking so much time? Why am I not seeing answers? God has a plan. The time frame may not fit, you know, our understanding, but God has a plan. Do you believe that? Just tell your neighbor once again, God has a plan for your life. So I just want to say, in the work that we are involved in, God has a plan. In the family that we are in, God has a plan. With the children that God has given us, God has a plan. With the boss that God has given us, God has a big plan. Lord, when will he get transferred? 5 years ho gaya. So you see all that, like, no. God has a plan. Oh, God works. That's the sovereignty of this amazing God. I was reading a story about a lady who was born of a prostitute. And so she was the product of her mother's profession in that sense. But as she grew up, she came to know the Lord Jesus. So she was saved. She was a believer. She married a husband. She married a man like who was a believer. And she had children. And they were good children. But there was always this thought in her heart, who's my father? And that would lead her to depression and anxiety. And she would cry often. And that story says that, like, you know, so one day when she was washing vessels, like in the sink, so she just broke down, and then she just cried out, who is my father? She just cried out. And then she heard an audible voice, I am your father. She turned around. It was as if like someone was there next to her. She turned around, and for the second time she heard that audible voice, I am your father. She says that it is as if some weight was taken off her, and she was delivered that moment from depression and anxiety and fear and insecurity. And it is as if, like, you know, the words from Ephesians 1, 4-6 says, I have chosen you before the creation of this world. I am your father. So that kind of truth dawned on her, and it just set her free. So we are not the product of our circumstances. God works his plan over our lives. Hallelujah. God has a plan over our lives. So that's the third aspect. The last aspect that we want to look at this morning is, even through his judgment on the kings, you know, it's his own, these are kings of Israel, not heathen kings. So these are kings of Israel. It says, Jeremiah 22:11-15 says, but this is what the Lord says about Shalom, a son of Josiah, who succeeded his father as king of Judah, but has gone from this place. He will never return. He will die in the place where they have led him captive. He will not see the land again, this land again. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. He says, that's the king is saying, I will build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms. And so he makes large windows in it, panels it with cedar, and decorates it in red. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, and so all went well with him. You know, God's heart was so pained that, you know, a king in Israel from his own land was so corrupt, would exploit his people, would be so selfish only to look at his own interest. But even above this, even when there is a corrupt king, we see the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. So you see, so it does not matter. We said about boss, you know, who's the minister, who's the president, who's the prime minister. Does not matter. Because God is above all that. And God works his purposes in our lives. It will not fail. It will not fail. His purposes will come to pass. You know? And that's why, like Jeremiah, if you look at the few chapters ahead, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I would raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Hallelujah. I mean, he has a plan to bring his son, the righteous one, the benevolent king, the compassionate king. And so he is not worried even when his own representatives on earth, you know, they become corrupt or they don't follow in his ways. God has a plan about that. To bring his righteous king on the earth. To bring salvation and goodness to all of us. That's what, like Revelation, we read Revelation some verses today. It says in Revelation 1:4-6, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So just tell your neighbor, ruler of the kings of the earth. This is just to ensure that you all are all alive and not asleep, like, you know, so I'm just asking you all to speak to your neighbor. The ruler of the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth. The ruler of the kings of the earth. That's who Jesus is. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That's the king that we worship. This king is in charge of this universe. And everything happens according to his rule and his decisions and his choices, which is good for us. This is the true king. So, God works his purposes, you know, in our lives and in this world of ours. So, I just want to say, as we just come to the end, that God has also placed us in positions of authority and power and leadership. How do we reflect? How do we reflect who Jesus is? How do we reflect this to people around us? Do they see the goodness of the King in us? The compassion, the kindness, the generosity, the service of our true King through us into their lives. And so, as we said, that like many times, our hearts can become corrupt. It's not just speaking about those kings. Our hearts can become corrupt as we live in this world. We all agree that it's a rat race, and so we also end up running, desiring things, thinking about ourselves, the pursuit of our own dreams as we live in this world. But do the people see the heart of the true King in our lives? And are they attracted to this true King through our lives. So we also need to see this king. Only then we'll be able to, you know, experience his grace and his compassion, his love to flow through us into the lives of people around us.
Hallelujah. So just tell your neighbor for the last time, I need to see the true king. Can we all just stand? And let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all the good things, even as we sang your praises. Lord, even through this devastating pandemic, you have saved us. We've seen your goodness. We've seen your hand of healing, Lord Jesus. And not only that, Lord, you've allowed us to be ambassadors who will go out and help others, Lord. We thank you. It's only because of you, Father, the life that you give to us, Lord, that we are able to be your ambassadors in the world outside. This morning, we also want to say, Lord, that even when we don't see, Lord, things happening our way, Lord, even when we don't understand things, even when we don't have all the answers, we will worship you because you are a sovereign God. Finally, you will work your plans. Finally, you will work your purposes through us, for the people around us, for your glory. So we commit ourselves into your hands. Oh, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were about to be thrown into that fire, blazing furnace, they said, our God is able to save us, but even if he does not save us, we will not go. It says they saw the deliverance of God. And so we commit ourselves into your hands. Thank you for who you are, and we worship you. In Jesus' name.